Luke chapter 13, continuing our consideration of the beloved physician. Luke chapter 13, we're going to be reading from verses 10 through 17. The title here given in the NIV is A Crippled Woman Healed on the Sabbath. So Luke chapter 13, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 17. If you're using our black Bible, that's found on page 1011. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he had said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And may God add his blessing upon the word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we are going to be considering the purpose or the meaning of the Sabbath. Earlier in Luke chapter 6, Jesus had taught concerning himself that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. This is by no means the first time that Jesus Christ has performed a miracle on the Sabbath day. But back in Luke chapter 6, when Jesus identified himself as the Lord of the Sabbath, he was speaking to his relationship to the Sabbath day. In calling himself Lord, he was making it clear that Jesus is the master, the ruler of the Sabbath day. He is greater than the Sabbath. But how about us? How are we called to view and to use this Sabbath day? As you remember, the Sabbath was given to us as a gift. Man was not made for the Sabbath. Man was made before the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is a gift for man. It is a privilege that we have. However, man takes the gifts of God and turns them into idols. Where God would have a liberty and joy and freedom, man takes that gift and brings bondage through its idolatry. A few weeks back, I asked my catechism class, what sort of things, what sort of activities should we busy ourselves with on the day of rest? How are we to view and to use this day, which is called in the catechism a festive day of rest? How can we preserve, even in our view and use of today, the Lord's Day, how can we preserve this day, which is designed to be a day of joy, a day of gladness, a day of service and worship? How do we balance these things even in our own mind? So today we see that Jesus Christ reveals the proper purpose of the Sabbath as he heals this disabled, cripple woman. If you remember back in verse 9 in chapter 13 from last week, there was this parable, this image of a tree. Will there be fruit in Israel? Will there be a response to the fertilizing work of Jesus Christ? Will that fig tree produce fruit of faith and repentance? And today we see that, yes, there is. There is a response in Israel among the seed of Abraham. Well, our text begins with Jesus, as I said before, once again in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, what was the Sabbath like? for the Israelites. How did they normally view the Sabbath day? As you recall, the Pharisees had taken the commandment, which we read earlier in our worship service. They had taken that commandment and not content with its shortened form, its shortened version, had added, had expanded, had delineated all these different ways to apply, and thus the laws of man had become burdensome. Just for one example, you were allowed to draw water for your animal, but you could not carry that bucket to the animal, nor could you hold that bucket while the animal was drinking. So you could draw water, and you'd have to set the bucket next to the well, and you have to lead the animal to the well in order for that animal to receive water. Another example is if one of your friends or family were inside of the house and the house wall had crumbled and fell on top of your loved one or your friend, you could only dig them out if their life was in mortal danger. If they were simply stuck under the pile of rubble and their life was not in mortal danger, you could not help them until the Sabbath day was over. Well, this Pharisaic understanding of the Sabbath and this adding of rule upon rule had turned the Sabbath into something it was never designed to be, which was a burden. Well, here Jesus comes into the Sabbath and he's teaching once again what the Sabbath should be. We don't know what the content of the sermon was that Jesus was giving, but we can imagine it was something about the love and mercy and grace of God. And then he sees this woman come in who has this disabling spirit. Now this, putting it into the context, remember that this woman is not disabled because of any specific sin that she had committed. We learned that the previous week as well. This woman was not disabled because of something she had done, but she was disabled because of this disabling evil spirit. Jesus even says in verse 16 that she was bound by Satan. Her spine was in a constant state of curve. She was pulled down. It was almost, if you can visualize, it's almost like she was walking with a burden, with a heavy yoke placed on her shoulders at all times. And she had suffered this way for 18 years. Jesus says 18 long years with this curved spine, unable to straighten up in order to stand straight, in order to perform the work, in order to walk. She's constantly in a state of pain, always forced to look down. What you and I take for granted on a given day, she could not and did not enjoy. But what this woman was experiencing physically is a picture of what you and I experience by nature spiritually. This being bound, this being enslaved, having a heavy yoke on our shoulders, is throughout Scripture given as a constant picture of how we are, or how we are bound to our sin and misery. Every one of us, by nature, are bound and enslaved to the way of evil. We are chained. We are the captives of Satan, if you will. And it is this bondage that Jesus Christ has come to deal with. But that's not the only bondage that we find in our passage. We also find that after Jesus heals, the Pharisees, or the Pharisaical spirit, makes evident how they viewed the Sabbath. And thus, we find that the Pharisees, the Pharisaical view made evident by this ruler of the synagogue, is also a binding that Jesus Christ has come to deal with. So not only do we have the binding of the woman, we have the binding of the Sabbath evident with this synagogue ruler. Seeing this woman healed moves him to anger. Our passage says he was indignant. He was out of his mind with rage. He was filled with such anger, blinding rage, so that he could no longer think clearly. He embodies the spirit of the Pharisees. Repeatedly, when Jesus Christ performs a miracle on the Sabbath, the response of the Pharisees is anger. I mean, put yourself in this situation. Here walks in a woman who has been 18 years bound over, enslaved with this spirit, this evil spirit. She's bearing this yoke of a physical, physical picture of what it means to be bound in your sin. 18 long years, Jesus says a few words, puts his hands on her, he's healed, and their response is anger. I mean, they don't even recognize the miracle that they have just seen. They're angry. They have no mercy. They are cold-hearted. They had turned the Sabbath and thus the people's lives into heavy burdens of things that they can and cannot do. They ignore the fact that this woman has just been set free for the first time in 18 years. Instead of praising God, instead of marveling, instead of wondering at the beauty of this wonderful miracle, this leader stands up and starts to chasten the crowd. Notice he doesn't chasten Jesus. He rebukes the crowds. And he says to the crowds, now don't be getting any ideas here. Don't think for a minute that the Sabbath has somehow been changed and the laws, the Pharisaical laws, no longer are binding. He and the Pharisaical teaching as a whole have little concern for the oppressed because they are, in fact, the ones who are oppressing. The heavy yoke, they would not lift a finger to raise the heavy yoke placed on the shoulders of the Israelites. They forgot that God loves mercy, that God is a God of mercy, and the heart of the law is love. If you would do something for your animal on the Sabbath, Jesus says, why wouldn't you do that for a fellow man? And there's a kind of a repeating concept. If you would loose the burden that your donkey or your animal has in order for them to walk and get water, you're willing to undo the binds that are stopping the animal from having a sense of liberty and freedom on the Sabbath. You're willing to do that, but you're not willing to celebrate the deliverance, the loosing of the bounds that the yoke that this woman had on her shoulders. The fact is, Satan hates anything that looks like joy, freedom, and peace. And the way this is made evident in the heart of man is in legalism. Legalism says, you shall not touch, you shall not taste, you shall not handle, you shall not eat. Do not enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Do not enjoy Sabbath rest. Do not celebrate freedom. The heart of man piles up more and more rules with no room for freedom and a joyful obedience. Sin brings bondage. Sin brings slavery, legalism, and deceit. The increase of the meaningless laws that man puts forth, laws which grow out of the hypocritical heart. Hypocrisy is very evident in our world today. For one example, we can see the hypocrisy in our fellow man that has more concern for animals than they do for fellow image bearers. Fellow man, worldly thinking, cares more for puppies or kitties that are buried in the snow than not only unborn children, but infants. Fellow image bearers, that's hypocritical. It doesn't make sense. But we do the same thing, don't we? We, you and I, are also hypocritical when we turn what God has given us to be a day of joy, liberty, worship, and service into a burden. An aged pastor once said to me, if we filled the Lord's Day with things we should be doing, we would not have the time to ask the question, what can't we do? It's so easy for us as human beings to increase our rules, having our little lists of things that we can and cannot do, even on the Lord's Day. We have a strict observance so that we might elevate our own understanding so that we might be high in our own eyes. While we lack mercy in regards to others, we tend, speaking to myself here, we tend to think we have everything figured out. But we take little pity on others who are bound by sin. We take pride in our own religion. We are full of self-congratulation. We are quick to pat ourselves on the back. But do we think about those who are lost? Do we have regard for those who are still carrying the burden? So the first thing that Jesus does in his rebuke of this Pharisaical spirit is to warn us so that we are not putting laws before people, that we are not putting lists before mercy. Remember what Micah 6 says, the kind of worship and service that God delights in, that he requires of us, is this: to do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. The hypocritical, judgmental heart knows little about the freeing, loosing, liberating work of Jesus Christ. When we turn the Lord's Day into a list of do's and don'ts, when we are so self-focused on what we think is right, and we have little regard for those who are lost spiritually and those who are bound physically, those who are carrying the consequences of sin in this world, our hearts don't care because we think we have it all figured out. Well, Jesus is going to poke the Pharisaical spirit. He's going to expose it. Because after Jesus performs this wonderful miracle, the ruler of this synagogue starts to rebuke the people. Verse 14, 6 days you guys can come and be healed. Why are you bothering to come on the Sabbath day? Come back later. Well, Jesus is going to expose this Pharisaical heart by revealing the proper meaning and purpose of the Sabbath. As I said before, that aged pastor told me, if you fill this Sunday with the things we are liberated in order to do, we would not be asking questions about what we cannot do. Well, here Jesus is going to reveal his own heart, and thus must be the heart of a Christian in our view of the Lord's Day. The first thing that Jesus Christ does on the Sabbath is found in verse 10. He was teaching. What is the first thing that Jesus is doing? He is preaching. He is explaining the way to salvation. His pattern of entering the synagogue on the Lord's Day is a fulfillment of his purpose for coming. Remember, we read earlier from Isaiah, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus has come to set the captive free. We know the importance of preaching, because it is by preaching that the Spirit opens our hearts so that we might repent and believe. It is by preaching we come to understand who Jesus Christ is and how he sets us who are captives free. That is the first thing that Jesus does here on the Sabbath day. But upon seeing this woman come in verse 12, Jesus in his mercy goes and sets his heart upon the healing of the sick. As I said before, multiple times in the Gospels, Matthew 12 is another example, Jesus is healing on the Sabbath day. Now this healing, this is a loosing. That's found in verse 15 and 16. It's the loosening of the bonds and the breaking of the chains. The image here, as I said before, is like this poor girl has a yoke. Remember what yokes are? That's what animals had to wear when they were pulling burdens. This yoke on her shoulders pulled down under the strain and toil of sin. And Jesus breaks that yoke. He says, I'm going to break the chains. I'm going to liberate you. This poor girl was bound by Satan's hand. It was Jesus' delight to break this chain. And as Isaiah continues, he came, Isaiah 61 says, to heal, to preach the gospel, and to set the prisoner free, to loosen the bounds of those caught in sin. It's an illustration of what Jesus does spiritually, but he does it physically as well. And although you and I cannot physically heal the sick, we should share Jesus' concern for the suffering of those who are bearing the consequences of sin. I'm not talking about their individual sins. I'm talking about the consequences of living in a sinful, fallen world. We, like Jesus, should seek to minister to those who are in need. The works of mercy are a fitting, even praised work of the New Testament church. We rightly, as a congregation, focus on the works of worship. Yes and amen. I'm not taking away anything of that. But what about the works of mercy? We identify that good, pleasing, acceptable works on the Lord's Day are works of mercy. But how is that evident in the weekly cycle of our Lord's Day? Works of mercy. It is a privilege that we have as New Testament Christians to visit the distressed, to pray for the afflicted, to comfort the discouraged. James 1 verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before the Lord God is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. One of the things that our deacons are called to do is to help us as a congregation focus our gifts, our abilities, and even our financial means to helping those who are distressed in the world in which we live. The heart of the Sabbath that Jesus Christ here illustrates is a heart of care, compassion, and mercy. When we see suffering as something that Jesus Christ has the power to deal with, that we as a church are called to respond to, we are one step closer to the compassion and grace that Jesus Christ here illustrates. But there's one more thing which we find in our passage, which is a fitting response to the work of Jesus Christ, and that is one of praise. What we find here with this woman who is set free and the context of the congregation as a whole in verse 17 is when you hear, when you see the liberty, the breaking of bonds, the breaking of chains, how can our hearts but respond with thankful praise and adoration? The meaning and purpose of the Sabbath day then is to glorify the Lord for the work that Christ has performed in our midst, to praise and worship God because of all that he has done, and setting the prisoners free. So when we summarize what the meaning and purpose of the Lord's Day should be, as New Testament Christians, we see that the ministry of the Word deals with spiritual bondage. The ministry of mercy deals with physical suffering. In order to get to the proper heart of the Sabbath, we have to identify how Jesus rebukes the leader of the synagogue. What was missing in the heart of the leader of the synagogue was submission, mercy, compassion, and praise. Yes, as Christians, we should view Sunday as a day of rest, but it is also a day of work. Works of worship and works of mercy should never be far from the hearts of God's people on this festive day of rest. So today, our proper priority should be first and foremost worshiping with God's people. Absolutely. But worshiping with God's people is never an individualistic, isolated event. You are here as a part of the body to be a blessing to the body in which you find yourselves. Isn't that what our words, our singing, our songs, hymns, and spiritual songs are supposed to be? Encourage one another all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. We are set free to worship. Yes and amen. Praise the Lord. But we're also set free to serve. Do we think of those who are still bound in their sins? Spiritually speaking, still carrying. Do our hearts break for our neighbors that don't know Christ? Do we see the privilege that we have to pray for them, to speak to them? Do our hearts break for those bearing the consequences of living in a fallen world? Those who are physically bound, those who are suffering. This is how the Synod of Dort, summarized what the Lord's Day should be. This day must be so consecrated unto the service of God that unto it men rest from all servile labors, except for those required by charity and present necessity, and likewise from all such recreations as prevent the service of God. What is the kind of lifestyle that God is pleased with? A heart of mercy, charity, compassion, and service. As Christians, there is a direct link between how we view God's love and mercy and how we display God's love and mercy to others. To conclude, the Sabbath was never designed to be a day of inactivity or a day to be used as an excuse to overlook others. This ruler's heart was cold and calculated. He knew the law, the Pharisaical laws, and his heart had no place for mercy, and thus his heart was closed towards praise. In Jesus Christ, we find liberty. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you the bread of life. Come to me, eat bread and drink wine without cost. Be fed unto eternal life. For my body is true food, and my blood is true drink. In my sacrifice, you will find the forgiveness for all of your sins. In my work, you will find liberty and the breaking of your bonds. We are all bent over and enslaved in our sins, but Christ sets us free. Let our hearts never be uncaring and legalistic, but compassionate, joyful, and gracious. Yes, we should rest from our sweat-filled, laborious toil, but also reflecting on the meaning and purpose of Jesus Christ's ministry and His care for the lost, revealed in how He brings liberty when He meets those who are enslaved. When we fill our Sabbath with the things that we should do, we have little time to come up with lists of things that we should not. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this challenging passage which reminds us of the need that we all have to be compassionate, servant-like, loving and caring. May we, O Lord, never be proud and uncaring, unmoved when we see the bondage in this world in which we live. We pray, O Lord, that when it comes to celebrating the Lord's Day, that we would be filled with joy and thanksgiving, that we would rejoice that you have set us free, And that our hearts would also break, O Lord, for those who are still bound, those who are bound in their sins, and those who are bearing the consequences of living in a fallen world. May these, O Lord, may this truth touch our heart. And may we return once again to the meaning and purpose here revealed of the Sabbath day by Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.